Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday is Tiny Mungwe, documentary film and arts producer working at Social Transformation and Empowerment Project, also known as STEPS, where she produces a pan-African anthology of 30 documentaries from different African countries. The series is titled Generation Africa, and two of its films are screening at two film festivals. The first one is Zinder, premiering in the International Feature Film Competition at Vision du Réel. And the second one is The Last Shelter, premiering in the main competition of CPH Docs. Lots to talk about, so let's get into it. Tiny, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here. Happy to connect with your listeners.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for me to have you on the show because this might be the first time that our listeners actually hear about STEPS. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about it and what it does, just as an introduction?
Sure. STEPS is a non-profit media company that's focused in supporting the growth of documentary in Africa, other parts of the global south, and supporting documentary filmmakers in their storytelling endeavors, but also connecting them with organizations, communities where documentary can have real impact. So we work in the production of films. We work in audience development as well. We have a network of mobile cinemas across the southern and eastern countries. Southern and Eastern African countries, where we work with community-based organizations to use documentaries already existing to have difficult conversations that move societies forward, but also to make participatory films that help communities to reflect on their challenges, their struggles, but also their possibilities for victories. We also have a online platform for documentary called AfriDocs.net, which is geo-blocked for Africa, where we curate films from Africa and the rest of the world about documentary films about, you know, urgent social issues, but also that reflect like the art of documentary storytelling. Recently, we've been working for the past 5 to 7 years. We've been working on a collaborative anthology of 25 films from 16 countries across the continent made by African filmmakers, reflecting the realities of African youth, which is the biggest youth demographic in the world, and looking at those experiences from the lens of migration. So we've worked with filmmakers from Africa, film production companies from Africa, but also in collaboration with co-producers, organizations, partners, and then sometimes also experts and consultants in developing this project from story to production, in post-production, and now we're starting to have some films that are appearing in the international festival circuit.
When did this project start exactly?
We sent out a call in 2018 for stories across the continent. We sent out a call in Anglophones or English-speaking countries on the continent, as well as Francophone or French-speaking countries on the continent. So this was a project that was for the first time allowing filmmakers to communicate and collaborate across this kind of neo-colonial or post-colonial divide. We held workshops in Accra, Nairobi, and Ouagadougou, where we brought in story experts, but also local media producers like writers and journalists and musicians to talk about the stories that filmmakers had submitted, but also to talk about what were the stories predominantly told in the media, and what was the lens in which migration is spoken about in the media, and what opportunities there were to kind of quote unquote shift the narrative. So some of the filmmakers were able to reflect on all of these conversations and submitted new stories or developed new stories based on the conversations that were had. So we then supported some filmmakers to do further research, you know, with the camera, get to know their characters and the kind of world of story, and also to do research and rewrite their projects with time and professional and financial support. And then from then we went into production, where each of the filmmakers were kind of given an opportunity to work on the stories, like to film their stories, but also with support from expert documentary storytellers from both Africa and outside of Africa. And now, predominantly, we're in the post-production phase, working with filmmakers to now do the final go at the writing of the story, the making of the story in the edit. And we've been seeing a lot of films kind of taking shape. And right now, we have two films which are in the festival circuit, which are showing at festivals in Europe and North America. And we're expecting more films to be finished between now and July. And we'll be having these films showing at more festivals, God willing. And we'll also be having a global broadcasting event. We're working in partnership in Europe with Arte, the three departments of Arte, so France, ZDF, and Strasbourg, as our main broadcasting partner in Europe. Our distribution platform, AfriDocs, will be in charge of the broadcasting that takes place in Africa. So it's going to be an international broadcasting event that takes place next year with these main partners, but also other broadcasters around the world. So we're also very much concerned with not just the making of the films, but to also think very carefully about how those films can connect to an audience and how those films can be a catalyst for conversations at all levels of society.
So I seem to understand what you said, that it was this series is about talking about modern Africa, but also importantly from a modern African viewpoint.
Yeah, like as I said, there are not many films. We have a platform called AfriDocs where we curate films about topics, including migration. We have a focus on migration on AfriDocs. And there are not many films there which are made by African filmmakers and therefore which represent an African perspective. So it was important to create a project that supports the growth of African documentary storytelling by giving the... or lending a voice or giving a voice to African storytellers and giving them agency to make stories in their own terms.
So just out of curiosity, it's been kind of a hectic year around the world, and the pandemic has obviously kind of slowed down all these processes. But has it been an issue for you guys as far as working on these films was concerned?
Yeah, certainly. Firstly, there were many countries where, all over the world, there was a kind of a stop to normal activities. And I think in the early days of the pandemic, lots of activities ground to a halt because generally we didn't know what was going on, you know? So a lot of our productions came to a stop and we had to kind of go through a process of restarting them again. But also there were like many storytelling challenges that came from that interruption, for films that were already in production. So it's been a lot of work coordinating with all of our co-producers, problem solving, coming up with solutions. But also it's been, very fortunate that I think we've been supported with funders, organizations we're partnering with, as well as like funding partners who have been able to support us to continue the project and stay on track with the overall goals of the project. I think certainly the pandemic has been like a big stress factor for everyone in the industry, but it's also been like a very important opportunity for us to figure out strategies for resilience, which has been the case in our kind of community, our Generation Africa community.
And just to give a better idea of what this anthology is like, Tiny, as I mentioned in the introduction to this interview, two of its films are being unveiled in the next few days, Zinder and The Last Shelter. Would you be able to tell us more about them?
No, for sure. Zinder is it's a film made in Niger by a Nigerian filmmaker called Aicha Maki. And it's really a reflection on young people in a city or in a quarter of the city of Zinder where It was originally established as a place to cast away kind of, people with disabilities, leprosy. So it was like a leprosy colony. And over time, it's become a place for marginalized members of this community. But also Zinda, stands at the frontier of the route through the desert and into, to the other side would be, you know, Libya, and other countries which are basically on the Mediterranean frontier. So it's a city where, there's a lot of geopolitical forces affecting, the young people there, and also a lot of violence that's endemic, because of a kind of, you know, systemic neglect for young people. So these young people are now kind of, very vulnerable socially to radicalization by, you know, extremist, organizations. They are vulnerable to, also migration as a way to find, ways to maintain their livelihoods. But also they have to eke out a living in a system that is not, geared to support young people in realizing their dreams. And Aisha Maki goes to community where a gang of young men has found a way to build community in and for themselves. And, she follows them in order to kind of understand their perspective and their point of view with, you know, really amazing access and really powerful images. But also out of that comes a kind of inspiring story of how these young people are kind of determining their futures and also defying these expectations of what young people in that kind of social position will do. So it's a very like surprising and inspiring kind of story about the inhabitants of Zinda, and particularly the young men who are part of these gangs, which are called like Palais. So The Last Shelter is directed by Usman Samaseku. So the first film I just spoke about is co-produced with Balibari Films, as well as Aicha Maki's own company, Taboo Films. This film is co-produced also with Balibari Films and the company Diaz Production in Mali. And it also takes place in a kind of frontier town of Gao, where there's a house of migrants. So it's a house, it's like a kind of a halfway stop or a shelter for young people who are detained in the desert on their attempts to cross the desert, the Sahara. And so this is where they're brought back in order to recover and make their way back to their original countries. Some of the young people here are on their way. They stop at the House of Migrants on their way, or while they figure out a way to go into the desert. So while they're here in this house, they get to talk a lot about their reasons for going on the journey, the reasons why it's difficult for them to go home. For many of these young people, because migration is a family project, there is a lot of effort that family members make to gather the resources for young people to go on the journey in order to cross the Mediterranean. And it's very difficult for them to admit failure and go back home, because it's being responsible, you know, for people who sold their cow, or, you know, lots of people in your community who contributed. You're chosen because you're believed to be the best amongst, you know, your people, and the one who's fit and competent to go on the journey. So if you come back, you're kind of a failure, you know. It's also a lot of discussions that young people have about systemic problems that make it impossible for them to plan their futures as young people in their countries. And two characters that come out very strongly in the film is Esther, a young person who's also escaping traumatic experiences back home and doesn't want to go back home, wants to cross the desert in order to get to Algeria and actually define a new reality for herself, a new existence, and redefine herself by the journey of traveling. And the other character is a character called Natasha, who's been there for 7 years in the House of Migrants and is unable to go home because she's lost her memory. So she kind of exists as a kind of a ghost, a presence in the house. She doesn't remember who she is. So she doesn't know where her future lies. And, it's a very lyrical, poetic story, Last Shelter. And, Yeah, that's the second film that we have out and available to be seen at festivals right now.
That's amazing. And of course, these are only two of the films that are part of the series. What are the plans for the future? Do you see there being recurring editions of Generation Africa?
So with the current collection, as I explained, there's going to be a global broadcasting event with AfriDocs, our platform in Africa, and Arte in Europe, but other broadcasters throughout the world, in the rest of Europe and North America and Asia and South America. We plan to show these films at festivals around the world in the hopes that there will also be another opportunity to, you know, have conversations, urgent conversations about migration. And then we also plan to have a comprehensive impact campaign that is for Generation Africa as a project, as a collection, but each individual films in the communities where the films are made, but also in communities around the world, to talk about migration as such a critical contemporary issue. As steps, we are working on our next Pan-African collection of films. So it's a project that we're still putting together. We're in the very early stages of that. So we will continue to come up with projects which are about building documentary community, which are about putting documentary as a very critical part of a kind of a cinema canon, but also like, how do I say, as a tool for conversation and dialogue about very like urgent social issues that we're facing as a world, as a humanity. So, and also we have films that we continue to curate on our AfriDocs platform, not just films that we're producing, but, you know, films that are available around the world that we think are very essential for an African, you know, documentary audience or an African audience to connect with. But the next project we do in Africa will not be called Generation Africa, the sequel, or Generation Africa 2. It will be a completely new initiative with a new thematic focus and a new group of filmmakers that we would like to connect with in Africa.
It sounds great, and hopefully we'll be able to talk some more about other initiatives in the future. I'd very much like that.
Yes, really great talking to you, Matt, and I hope that you're having a good afternoon and that you have a great evening as well.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.